Thank you, Bradfords. Oh my God, that was a beautiful song. I have to tell you, I'll talk about my topic in just a second, but I called Kathy last night or yesterday and said, hey, this is my topic, good luck. And they can pull it off every single time, so thank you. So welcome to West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. My name is Reverend Clyde Goings, and I am the assistant minister here. Reverend Karen is out for some well-rested, deserved time, and she's enjoying her time on the beach. She sent me a picture from her porch, and it's out looking the ocean, and it's just beautiful. So we're here today, and so my topic is a little heavy for starting the year, but I think it's very appropriate as we move into 2020 and really thinking about who we are and what we're here to do and why we're here. So I'm talking about immortality, and that's why I said Kathy, good luck on the songs. But she did a beautiful job, right? She did an absolutely incredible, beautiful job. So who has experienced the loss of a loved one? Everybody. Who knows anyone who has lived here on earth more than 150 years? So who believes we are immortal? So Google defines immortal as exempt from death. Science of Mind textbook defines immortality as a deathless principle of being in all people. We are more than we think. If we are individualized expressions of God, and God is immortal, then can we accept that we are mortal souls having a human experience? Today, I want to talk about what it means to be immortal. I want to talk about what it means to be immortal, what happens when we die, and who's going to heaven. So the title of my talk today is We Are Waves of Life. And I got the title from the book, In the Flow of Life. And I think we still have some books in the bookstore. This is not a new book by Eric Butterworth, but if you've not read the book, I really encourage you to get that book. It's an incredible read. We have one more chapter that we're going to be studying at the end of after service today. It's been a wonderful journey, and that is my go-to book gift to everybody now, is that book. So again, if you haven't gotten the book, in the Flow of Life, please get it. So Eric Butterworth explains immortality in his last chapter about life, death, and rebirth. In the chapter, he's talking about how our lives are like waves of the ocean. So the title of my talk is Waves of the Ocean. It's Waves of Life. So I want to read a quick paragraph out of the book that where he's talking about the waves and see how it relates to our life. So sitting on a pier that extends out into the ocean, one is impressed with the constant flow of the ocean currents and the formation of the waves that start as small swells and move in with increasing size and power. Finally, the wave crashes on the shore with tremendous surge of foaming water. What is a wave? A wave is the ocean expressing as a wave. It has form and shape and movement. It has identity and uniqueness, but it is no more or no less than the ocean. It is not even limited to a particular segment of the ocean. It is a movement within the ocean. It is a projection of the ocean, which at the same time moves on and through the ocean. When the wave crashes on the shore, where is the ocean water that formed that first swell? So just like the wave, we are born from life. And when our bodies no longer can support us, we return to life. There's never a separation. Each person is powerful and unique. So Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, wrote the Declaration of Principles, also known as What We Believe. So the third declaration reads, we believe in the eternality, immortality, and the continuity of the individual soul, forever and ever expanding. So do you believe it? What does that mean to you? Nobody knows where we come from, and nobody knows where we go. So I read this article when I was doing my research. I read this article online in Science Today, and they claim that infants begin to experience consciousness at 5 months of gestation. So how does that happen? And what I think is even more interesting is how incredible it is that we were able to figure that out, right? So it shows you that we are also evolving as a human race. 100 years ago, I doubt anybody was thinking or wondering when consciousness begins in a baby. So I read another article from Psychology Today, and this neuropsychiatrist studied the human brain, consciousness, and near-death experiences for 50 years, and he suggests that consciousness persists after death. He suggests that the brain acts as a filter of this universal conscious energy all around us. The brain filters and sharpens the focus. So just like our eyes and our ears, they filter and interpret only a small fraction of the spectrum, the brain acts as a conduit that filters conscious energy into being. So when our brain stops working, or our eyes stop seeing, or our ears stop hearing, the filter or conduit for the energy that flows stops. So when somebody stops hearing, the noise around them doesn't stop. It's just the flow of energy stops flowing in our brain. And so that's what he's suggesting about consciousness. But here's the beautiful part. The range of sonic frequencies, the electronic spectrum, and the conscious energy continues to exist independent of the brain. So our bodies are vehicles, a filter or prism through which life or God expresses and experiences. Ernest Holmes reminds us that our bodies do not last forever. He says, we need to first accept the fact that our bodies are not meant to last forever. They serve a purpose while we are here on Earth, on this plane. So just like waves in the ocean, we are individualized in our beautiful uniqueness. At some point, we become conscious beings, living a powerful life. And when our physical bodies no longer support us, we return to where we began. So where is this place? So that's my second point for today. What happens after I die is none of my business. What's really important is what's going on right now. What's going on in our life right now? Are you happy? Do you have joy in your life? Do you feel loved? Are you expressing love? So I remember, my mom passed 10 years ago. And I'm so grateful that I used that time wisely to make sure that she knew how much I really loved her. So when I first got a cell phone, back in the days when you got the plan and you got weekends free, calling for free on weekends, I don't know how many people remember that. So I called my mom on her birthday and I told her, Mom, for your birthday present, I'm going to call you every weekend for the rest of your life. And so I did that. And then 3 or 4 years before my mom passed, I called my parents again and I said, hey, you know, you guys live in Tulsa. I live in Dallas. We're about 4 or 5 hours apart. I said, I want us to start getting together once a quarter. I want us to spend time together. And so we would get together once a quarter. I would go visit them. They would come visit me. When I first started doing this, it was really funny because my parents were expecting me to come home, eat dinner, and go out with my friends. So when I stayed home, they thought something was wrong with me. But I had to explain to them that I was really there to spend time with them because I wanted to cherish these moments that I had with my mom and dad. So then I was taking a class in a ministerial school, and it was on death and immortality. And that's when I really got the understanding and really knew about we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I really stand in that truth right here, right now. So all excited about knowing this, I call my parents, of course, and I tell my mom, I'm okay when you and dad die, right? I'm okay with that because I know that you will live forever. My mom passed 6 months later. The pain of losing my mom really hurt. And I miss her every day. But I have all of these beautiful, wonderful memories of all of our phone call conversations. My mom, when I used to call my mom, because she didn't want my dad to hear what we're talking about, she would go get in the car, in the garage, so we could have a conversation. And then when I would go visit my parents, we wouldn't do anything. We would just have dinner and sit there and enjoy each other's company. But we recreated all of these wonderful memories because I knew that I only had so much time with my mother, and I wanted to make sure that she knew that I loved her. When she transitioned, she knew how much I loved her, and I also knew it. We only have so much time here on earth. The question is, are you making it the best? Are you doing everything you can in this present moment and making it the best? So Eric Butterworth has this quote that really resonated with me. He said, "The reason the passing of a loved one is such a shattering experience is that our frame of reference is too small." He uses the analogy of living on a flat world of pre-Columbus days. Back in the day, people thought that the world was flat, and if you went too far, you fell off the world. Does anybody believe that today?
There are some.
There are some. Can we expand our consciousness and begin to believe that life is whole and transcends death? Life is forever evolving. We are forever evolving. There's new beginnings and endings every single moment. You graduate from school, you start a career. Your kids move away from home, and you become an empty nester. You get married, your single life ends, and your married life begins. You quit a job or you get promoted, so you start a new job. You start a new position. And then my favorite example, every 7 to 10 years, every cell in my body dies and is replaced with new cells. So if I look at my life, I'm 53 years old. There's 365 days in the year, which means I've lived 19,345 days. And my body cells have died and rebirthed 1,934 times. Dorothy's back there doing the math. She's confirming it for me. So the cells in my body or in our body, they've died and they replace, and we don't know any different. Just like walking into one room and out of another room, life simply flows, always changing. Something ends and something begins. Another great analogy that Eric Butterworth uses is sunrises and sunsets. You know that we have really, really beautiful sunrises and sunsets here. That's a gift of living here in Arizona. And then you have a few clouds up in the sky, and now you've got this canvas of beautiful colors. And so we should always appreciate those beautiful sunrises and sunsets. But sunsets represent the end of the day, the time to rest. And sunrise represents the beginning, the new beginning, and hope. So when we are experiencing the sunset at the end of the day in the United States, on the other side of the world, China is experiencing the sunrise, the beginning of a new day. It's the same planet, the same sun, but different experiences. Every day we go through the cycle. We go to sleep every night expecting to wake up the next morning. Just imagine if we had that same faith about our immortality. We don't need to worry about what's going to happen after we transition, because we are too busy living life, experiencing joy, and sharing love. So who's going to go to heaven? So I found this really funny quote that I think is just perfect for heaven and hell. "The fact that there is a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven says a lot about anticipated traffic numbers." Let me read that again. "The fact that there's a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven says a lot about the anticipated traffic numbers." If the shoe fits, it's easier to stay mad at your spouse, your family member, or your friend than forgive someone. It's easier or safer to stay in a limiting or lack consciousness than to step out into the unknown. And it's easier to be a victim of a job or a boss than to own your own happiness or success. We do not believe in this place called hell. Ernest Holmes says heaven and hell are states of consciousness. Heaven is most Heaven is lost merely for the lack of harmony. Hell is the phantom abode of our morbid imagination. Hell is when we stay angry or mad at someone, or we stay stuck in an unwanted condition because we don't think we deserve more. Heaven is when we heal our broken relationships. When we forgive someone, it sets us free from the chains of pain. When you own your own destiny, no one can take away your success. So I want to read another declaration from What We Believe. We believe that the universal spirit, which is God, operates through the universal mind, which is the law of God, and that we are surrounded by this creative mind, which receives the direct impress of our thought and acts upon it. Do we understand the law of cause and effect? Do we accept that we are creating our hell or our heaven? So there's a quote that we talked about last Wednesday from the Science of Mind textbook. We're doing our spiritual practice on Wednesday night, and I think that this quote is really appropriate for this heaven and hell idea. So this is what Ernest Holmes says. There must be not only the possibility of choice, but the liability of experiencing that which was chosen. There must be not only the possibility of choice, but the liability of experiencing that which was chosen. So you get to decide if you want to experience heaven or hell. There's nothing out there. There's nothing up there. There's nothing down there. There's only the liability of our choices. So why did I choose this topic? Because I believe that we are immortal souls having this human experience. And I want to invite you to stand with me in this truth, knowing that you are a spiritual being having a human experience. So can we believe in the eternality, immortality, and the continuity of the individual soul forever and ever expanding? Can we stay present and live life wisely and earnestly? And finally, can we choose to experience heaven right now because we know it's our choice? So let us pray. So as we simply breathe in these words and we allow them to wash over us, so we think about that immortality, about this present moment and living in this present moment and choosing to experience heaven on earth right here and right now. We accept all of this as happening in God. All of this is happening in life, right here and right now. Just like the wave is part of the ocean but is never separated from the ocean, we are part of life. We are that individualized expression of God. We show up, we create, we express, we receive. Knowing it's all for the highest and best good that's unfolding right here and right now in our lives. We are guided by that divine wisdom that only leads us to this place of higher expression. We live in an abundant universe that supplies us of all of our needs. And that healing power, that divine blueprint of God is within us right here and right now. So any lack or limitation is not who we are. We are that individualized, unique, beautiful expression of God. And we come here to express, we come here to live, and we come here to receive that love. So I know that today, this year, this new year is unfolding right here and right now for each one of us, allows us to live life fully, knowing that we are loved and supported all along the way. And I'm so grateful to know this truth. I'm so grateful for these teachings to help us expand our consciousness and our mind to be aware of the truth of who we are. I'm so grateful for this community as we come together, that we love and support each other as we're on this beautiful path called life. I'm so grateful for every experience that I experience, every person that I meet, because I know that they only serve one purpose: to remind me of my truth, to remind me that I am that immortal soul, that beautiful expression of God. So knowing this truth, knowing that my life, your life, all life is unfolding in divine right order, I simply bless this day. I bless every single one in this room. I bless the world. This is a new day, a new beginning, new hopes. And together we say, so it is.